Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host Shravan. We've got Tyron here with us.
Hey everyone.
Have you noticed that I haven't yet got a gauge on that on our new theme? I had a bit of a rhythm with the old one, so I used to like jump straight into it. In this one, it might sound like I'm a bit confused at the start.
It might sound like I'm confused as well, because I'm always confused. it's just me, yeah.
So thanks everyone for joining us. If you're joining us for the first time, this is a podcast where we talk about movies, TV shows, sometimes video games, a lot of the times pretty random stuff. But this week we are going to be talking about James Wan's Malignant, which is a movie that just came out. It's available on HBO Max and theatrically if the theaters are open. In our case, they're not, so we ended up watching it via streaming. It's directed by... Did I say it's directed by James Wan?
You did, but you could say it again.
Yeah, it's directed by James Wan.
What a twist.
Is that, I guess, can we say he's renowned? I guess he is. Renowned horror director.
He's all right.
Went to RMIT. Any other trivia we've got on James Wan?
His mother lives in Box Hill.
Oh, okay.
Don't fact check that because, you know, the internet sometimes lies. But just believe me, his mum lives in Box Hill.
Okay, which is a suburb in Melbourne.
It's not just a box on top of a hill.
Yeah, it's not just a... Yeah, she lives in a box on a hill. That's what the internet told you.
Don't fact check it. Once again, just take our word for it.
This one, it is an original story written by James Wan and actually his wife, Ingrid Bisou, who's also in this movie as an actor. And it's produced by James Wan as well. So it's starring Annabelle Wallace, who was in the Annabelle movie, coincidentally, that first Annabelle movie.
She's also in Peaky Blinders, isn't she?
I think so, yes. I think that's what she's more famous for.
And she's in The Mummy.
Is she? Oh, yeah, that you mean the Tom Cruise one?
Tom Cruise Mummy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I completely erased that movie from my memory.
Did you watch that movie?
I've seen it.
I haven't seen that movie, and I know she's in it.
Yeah, it's because it's not good.
Yeah.
Other people in this movie? I actually don't know the other actors in this movie.
Which one's James Wan's wife?
She plays one of the investigators in this movie. So you'll know.
Detectives?
Yeah, one of the
okay.
Detectives. You'll know which one. Because there's only three of them, and it's obviously one of them. Other cast and crew in this movie, it's music by Joseph Bishara, who's done all the other Conjuring movies and other James Wan horror movies. Runtime is 111 minutes. And box office wise, it doesn't actually have the budget, so I'm not sure how much it costs. But box office wise, it's done $2.2 million so far. It's still early days because it's only been out for about 2 days now. So we're watching it reasonably early. I didn't know much about this movie. I actually didn't know anything about this movie apart from the title, and that was directed by James.
Same. Wan. I knew nothing.
I didn't watch the trailers, so I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't want to watch this movie. I wanted to know nothing about it, but you you forced it upon me today. I was not feeling it, but then I actually got into it as we watched it. I was not feeling like watching this. If I'm tired, if I sound tired, sorry, it's because I am.
Well, you had work today, and then tomorrow I've got stuff on. So I was like, we kind of have to record this today. And I watched it early in the morning, and I could sense your reluctance through your messaging. It's like we didn't talk, we just messaged, and I could sense that you didn't want to watch this.
But I did it. I did it. I pushed myself to the limits for the podcast.
So I guess first we'll do non-spoilers and then we'll get into spoilers because there's stuff I want to talk about, spoilers. Yeah, we'll do that later.
In case there's a kind of twist.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
Yeah, which I saw coming from a mile away, but apparently you didn't.
I didn't. Maybe because it was too early in the morning and I wasn't thinking. But what's the story for this one?
Oh, it's a stupid story. That's what it is. It's hard to say without spoiling it, but I don't even know how to say it without spoiling it. I guess there's a murderer.
There's this lady that can witness some murders happening while not being there. Like, she's somehow connected.
Yeah. This lady witnesses murders. That's essentially what the story is, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to say without spoiling it. I think the less we say about it, probably the better for the audience in case they haven't seen it. Yeah. Did you watch the trailer after you watched the movie?
No, I still haven't seen the trailer, but okay. I heard...
Okay, yeah. I'm just wondering if the trailer spoils anything.
I'm not sure, but I heard the trailer kind of sets up the tone to be a bit more serious than it actually was.
Is this movie meant to be a comedy?
No. A little bit of background. So they had test screenings for this movie about a year ago, and apparently the audience found it funny. They found it really funny, and Warner Brothers was actually worried that this is meant to be a horror movie. Why are people finding it funny? So they basically, if you haven't noticed already, the marketing for this is pretty minimal. Like, there was one trailer. It came out like a month before the actual movie released. There was not much marketing put into this movie at all, because I think, and they just tucked it on, you know, along with all their other movies, but they had their simultaneous HBO Max release as well. So I think they weren't that confident on this. And also the embargo for the critics' reviews, it only lifted the day the movie released, which doesn't usually happen.
Never is a good sign.
It only happens when they're not confident that the movie's good.
I got to say, if we start critiquing it, like, tonally, this movie's all over the place. Like, sometimes it's like a cop drama from the 2000s. Sometimes it's like this eerie 1970s, like, hospital drama kind of horror thing. And then sometimes it's like a romance. I'm like, this is all over the place. Like, what is this?
And sometimes there's actually quite an extensive action scene as well towards the end of the movie, which is
doesn't really fit
into the tone of what they were going for. I agree with that. There was a lot of tonal shifts, and the score, there was just some stylistic choices.
Oh, the score is way too overpowering at certain stages for no apparent reason. Yeah. I'm like, the music is like terrible in this situation. Like, at multiple spots, it's way too overpowering and really bad. I wrote two things on my phone as notes. I said, the tone is shit, the music is shit. That's what I wrote.
I don't know if it was bad. It doesn't fit the movie, but at the same time, it was kind of like, it was just like, why did they do this? It was like an interesting in a weird way. It was like, why is this music coming up now? Why is it so dramatic? Like, nothing's happening. Why is the music so dramatic?
Yeah.
And other stuff, like, I think there was intentional humor. There was some, like, actual, I think they were meant to be jokes, which weren't that funny. They were like chuckles. But then there were parts where...
Or unintentionally, like, really hilarious stuff. Like, laugh out loud. I've got them all written down. I started taking notes on it halfway through because I'm like, this is hilarious. I got to remember all these, like, hilarious one-liners.
So it's interesting you had that experience because I actually found this quite disturbing. I didn't find it funny. I actually found this quite disturbing towards when the reveal started coming up. I'm like, it made me pretty uncomfortable. But I know people found this funny, like, especially towards the end. I think people actually found this funny, which, I don't know, I didn't, but maybe that's just my taste.
Maybe I'm just like a sick human being, but This is one of the funniest movies I've seen from like the halfway point. It's absolutely hilarious.
It's kind of a mashup of James Wan's filmography as well. So it's got elements of Saw, like the goriness that you see in those movies. And then it's got elements of the Conjuring movies where it has this like supernatural element, which I don't know, it's in there, but it doesn't actually end up
in. It doesn't fit in. Yeah. Like the start of the movie, which is also very bad. The first line in my notes was actually bad opening. There's like this part before the credits and the acting is horrendous from everyone in that opening credits scene. And it like sets it up to be kind of Conjuring-esque tone. But then when the credits finish, the tone's totally different.
So there are parts of this, I think different people like different parts of this movie. I think it's going to be a divisive movie either way. I actually like the more serious parts of this movie when you follow the main character played by Annabelle Wallace. I thought her story was pretty traumatic.
I think if you really look into the underlying premise, though, it's so stupid that you can't help but laugh at how stupid it is.
I was kind of behind the main character because her, you know, her story was pretty tragic and traumatic, and she obviously went through a lot of pain. So I was kind of behind that, but then I don't know, once they introduce this supernatural concept and it starts to take a bit of a turn, and then they also introduce this investigative component as well, this mystery component where the police get involved. There was stuff that I wasn't as interested in, and it was kind of taking me away from the movie, because I thought initially James Wan was doing what he does with Conjuring, where he doesn't get into the horror until you kind of get on board with the characters. So he spends a lot of time building up the characters, which he sort of did, but I don't know, the payoff wasn't there. I didn't feel like there was a, especially the third act, I felt like it was, I know it was like entertaining, but I just didn't think it paid off.
What did I arrive at the end? I wrote, the end is hilariously bad. And CGI is hilarious as well at certain points.
Yeah.
In the end battle scene, the CGI is hilarious.
That's why I'm interested what the budget of this movie was, because it didn't feel like it was that high. It felt like a pretty low budget movie. And a lot of horror movies can be low budget and still turn out pretty good. All that being said, I don't think this is a bad movie because I was reasonably engaged. Like, I didn't feel that bored. I was kind of on board with the initial premise that they set up, and then they go this other direction, and I was sort of engaged with that as well. And then there's like a completely ridiculous third act reveal, and then it gets even more ridiculous from there. And I was still entertained. I wasn't necessarily expecting that to happen or wanted that to happen, but it's what happened.
I probably hated the start because I didn't want to watch this movie and I was forcing myself to watch it. So that probably hindered my experience for the start a little bit. But as it went on and it started to get like funny, I actually started to enjoy myself a little bit. I think we both had very different experiences with it.
I think I actually liked the first half of the movie better than the second half. I think you probably like the second half better than the first half.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good movie though. I think it's a bad movie that I just found funny and liked it.
A couple of positives that I wrote down. I thought the cinematography was interesting in parts.
I thought the cinematography was off because some scenes are shot a certain way and then some scenes are shot a different way, which makes me like that with the tone, that didn't work as well because some scenes are like very Conjuring-esque shot.
Yeah.
Then other scenes are shot like a crime procedural on ABC.
Yeah, there were some parts where I thought this was going to be like a haunted house movie, and it wasn't. There were parts where it was a haunted house movie. There was one shot that I liked where they kind of show like an overhead of the house, and she's like going up the stairs, and you follow her through the different rooms in the house, which I thought was interesting. And there's some shots where the camera's actually like really far away from the actual subject. Like there was one part where you see through a window in a house, and you see a lady talking on the phone, and the camera was like on the other side of the street, which interesting stylistic choice.
But it's not, I don't think it's, how do you say it? It wasn't uniform throughout the movie. Just random times he just had random thoughts.
I think the biggest positive for this is actually that it is pretty original. I mean, it borrows from different genres and stuff, but I can't think of any movie that's like this.
I think, yeah, I can't think of anything either, but just because it's so stupid, like, I can't get behind the premise and say this is a real, I can't see anyone doing this realistically and doing it well. Like, the premise is so stupid, that no matter who did this, it would have turned out hilarious like this. I feel like it was hindered from the start from the premise. Yeah, it's an original premise for good reason because it's shit.
James Wan's reasoning, when they asked him what this movie was about, he said it's going to be an original horror movie that's not related to any other franchise or anything. And he also said that it borrows from other horror tropes. So I think there's definitely...
I think it tried to be like a slasher. It tried to be a horror, like a haunting movie. And then it also tried to be like a detective movie.
Yeah,
it
tried to be like a supernatural horror movie. And then it kind of became a slasher horror movie.
Yeah, a body horror.
I guess it was still interesting. Like he tried, I guess. It's not like he was just doing his normal thing. Like I think he actually tried to do something different, which is better than just doing a regular old jump scare horror movie, which he didn't do.
I kind of like I agree with you to a certain extent, but also it's not a good movie, so I can't get behind that.
Yeah, negatives. I mean, we've been talking a lot of negatives, but the third act, I couldn't get on board with the third act. And the ending, we'll get into it in spoilers, but the ending seems just way too convenient and easy. I don't know how that happened. And there was this other stuff around, without, again, going into spoilers too much, but there's this concept of electricity manipulation. So this the antagonist or the monster or whatever in this movie seems to have some sort of electrical powers, but they never investigate that. Like, they never even explain that. There's a lot of
stuff. Well, there's a lot of unexplained shit in this movie in the end,
There's a lot of stuff that they don't explain. They kind of just have to go with it. Yeah, I think this movie's going to be pretty divisive. I could see people liking it, and I didn't hate it. I think if you like horror movies and you're willing to try something that's pretty out there, then...
I think it's not scary, though. I think this is a movie that if you're worried you'll be too scared by it, you're not going to be scared by it. This is not a scary movie.
Yeah, I wasn't scared by it. I was more just disturbed by it in certain parts.
There's some body horror. If you don't like body horror, then you might be scared. But other than that, it's not that scary.
It's not like a Conjuring or a Insidious or that sort of scary. It's not going to keep you up at night.
This is going to keep me up at night for how hilarious it is. I'm going to think back to the parts and start laughing in my sleep.
I just found it a bit disturbing. But and maybe that's why I couldn't also find it funny, because I was just like, this is just really weird, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you watched it with me, it would have been a different scenario.
I'd be interested to see what people think about this. I'd like to hear when our audience do get to see it.
Yeah. To be honest, I could see people liking it. I'm strongly on the negative side, but I would watch this again, definitely. If someone wanted to watch this with me, I would 100% watch this again. More just to see their reaction as well.
I think it really depends on your taste, how much you end up enjoying this. I probably wouldn't watch it again unless maybe we watch it together to have fun, but I probably wouldn't watch it again by myself, that's for sure. But I think I would still give it a quality of recalibration just because... I was engaged. I wouldn't say entertained is not the right word. I was kind of intrigued and disturbed. And then finally, I was a bit disappointed. But overall, it was okay.
I think the biggest negatives are the music and the tone, which just took me out of it every single time. Especially the music. Every time it happened, just took me completely out of the movie.
Have you seen Halloween?
Halloween? No, I haven't seen it. No.
Halloween? I think this must have been a homage to Halloween, because that's a slasher movie. And that has a pretty ridiculous soundtrack as well. Like, there's this music, there's the Halloween theme that plays every time he commits a murder. And it doesn't really, maybe in the 80s it was, you know, phenomenal and sensational.
It worked.
But it doesn't work for this movie. I just don't think it works for this movie, because the first half of the movie is just a completely different tone. And then it switches over.
Yep, I agree. It did work at all for this movie. Also, I saw the twist coming from a mile away. You obviously did it, but I told you from... basically the start. Well, not the start. I count at 1 hour in, I knew. That's when I messaged you.
And I guess they start revealing some stuff about an hour in, but I still didn't think it was... I knew there was... We'll get into it, I suppose. I knew there was some relationship, but between, you know, the antagonist and the protagonist, I guess. But it wasn't what I expected it to be.
But yeah, it's a regression for me.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's hilarious, and... If this was a comedy movie, then it's a recalibration.
How do you think it compares to the... What other horror movies have you seen this year? We've seen Conjuring 3. How do you think it compares to Conjuring 3?
This is worse than Conjuring 3. You know I didn't like Conjuring 3 either, so this it shows how bad I think this movie
is. You gave that a recalibration. You're giving this a regression, so I guess you like this less. But I think this at least tries to be something different. I think Conjuring 3 was a little bit too... It was just following a formula, and it kind of did that.
Yeah. I didn't like Conjuring 3, but it was scary at parts, and I guess it kind of achieved what it was going for. I don't think this achieved anything of what it was going for.
Going to spoil, so I'll give it a recalibration, you give it a regression. This is the first time we haven't agreed on a movie this year, which is interesting.
Maybe it's because I didn't want to watch the movie as well, so my mood is in a different mind space to yours. So maybe if you go into it not wanting to watch it.
I could see people not liking this as well, so I'm not surprised that we're divided. We'll jump into spoilers, so if you haven't seen Malignant and you care about spoilers, come back to this point in the episode. I'll put the timestamps in the description, and then you can listen to our spoilers. There's going to be quite a bit to talk about, I think.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
We can go through all your funny parts.
I only have, I've written three funny lines and they're all in the third act.
Other spoilers. Like we said, it kind of switches between different genres. At the start of the movie, I thought this was going to be like a haunted house situation. Because the house looks like it should be haunted, the one that she lives in. And I guess we could explain the story a bit more. So what's her name in the movie? She's got two names, Emily and...
Madison.
Madison, yeah. So Madison is this lady. She lives with her abusive husband. One day they get into a fight and he ends up hitting her against the wall and she hits her head. That night, something happens in the house. Some murders... Well, her husband gets murdered and she witnesses it. She wakes up and then... That's where the story unfolds because they're not sure who committed the murder because no one actually broke into the house. So something happened. And then she starts witnessing other murders as well. And when she witnesses them, she's kind of in the same room, same situation. It's like she's kind of seeing visions where she's put in the same room as where the murder's happening. And then they start figuring out that she has some link to the murderer. And that's when the police get involved as well. And then we start delving into past and you find out there's some experimentation that was done in the past. And so the reveal is that she...
Wait, I had a joke about this one. The reveal is she's Professor Quirrell from Philosopher's Stone. That's immediately what I thought of when I saw it. I'm like, she's Professor Quirrell.
That didn't actually come to mind, but I actually thought of occlumency in Harry Potter. That's what came to my mind when she was seeing the murders because it was kind of like... Harry in Voldemort's mind, So I was like, oh, this is kind of like that. But then I can, now that I think about it, it's actually exactly like that.
It's exactly like that, yeah. So basically the killer is on the back of her head, which for me is a hilarious premise, that the killer's the back of her head.
I just found that really disturbing, but I can see why people might find it funny as well. But she was born with a parasitic, I think they call it a parasitic twin, on the back of her head, and she named it. Well, they named it. I think the mother named it.
The mother named it Gabriel. Yeah.
And basically, Gabriel was connected with her brain, so the brains are connected. But they said it's not the same as conjoined twins because he can't live without her. So it's not like they can just cut him out because he will just die, or she might die as well. So they kind of had to leave a part of it in her, and they stitch it up. And then when she gets into that confrontation with her husband and hits her head, he ends up being released. It's not what I thought it was going to go, more the demonic route, because at one stage she does call it a devil. So I thought it was going to be more supernatural than biological, as it ended up being.
Yeah, well, the reason I picked up on it so quickly is whenever you see the monster killing, and when she's running, you can tell her, like, she's running backwards.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like she's running backwards, which could be creepy, but for me just looked hilarious. And just imagine someone running backwards and like doing flips and stuff. That's what happens in this movie.
Well, in other horror movies, they've done it where it is creepy, where they're like limbs contort and they, you know, like Bathsheba and stuff. Like that stuff can be creepy. I guess it's not as creepy as those movies.
No, it's because it's like played for an action scene as well. Like, she's doing flips and shit. She looks like Batman. She's like...
Especially in the third act, when it just becomes like this action movie. I think James Wan might have, I don't know, from his experience in Aquaman, maybe he's like, I should put some action into this movie. It didn't really fit, because there's this action sequence where she gets put in jail, and then she kills all the women in the jail.
I've got an unintentionally comedic line in this part.
Okay, yeah.
So she's transforming into what's his name?
Gabriel.
And then one of the chicks in the cell goes, "Oh shit, bro, this chick's having a seizure." and you may think I butchered the delivery there, but that's exactly how she says it.
Yeah, that's exactly what was said. I thought that whole sequence was a bit. I know why he did it that way. So she gets put in jail, and then she starts. It's obviously a rough jail, and they start beating her up. I'm like, I don't know if this is... Where are the guards? Like, they're beating her up, and they're not doing anything. And I know why he put that in, because you have to hate the other prisoners, because she's going to kill all of them in the next scene, which he does. Because up till then, the movie was reasonably tame. Like, it wasn't that violent or anything. You know, there was some blood and gore when he goes and stabs people, but apart from that, there wasn't much. But yeah, then they kind of really lean into the body horror there, where she's like cracking limbs and smashing heads and stuff. Yeah, and then it leads on to another action scene where obviously Gabriel's very adamant that he has to wear this coat and gloves, and he has to have these little...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Another question I have, when did he make this coat and gloves?
I don't know.
Like, when did that happen? Because doesn't he kill the husband with the coat and the gloves on?
He might. I'm trying to remember if he probably might.
Yeah. So didn't he, that was the day he got awakened. So when did he have time to make this coat? Did he go up to the shop and just buy a coat and gloves with his backwards face?
Or maybe did he make,
when did this happen?
Did he make her go buy it? I don't know. Because he could control her as well. Apparently, it's that the coat and gloves thing. Apparently, it's a homage to this genre of Italian horror called giallo, which also means yellow, I think, in Italian. But basically, it's a series of movies that were made in Italy where there would be a killer in a coat and black gloves, and it basically slashes. But it kind of originated in Italy.
Fair enough. It was stupid though, because the killer breaks out of jail and then goes to get his coated gloves on.
Like, before he goes to kill more people, he's like, "No, I need my coat and gloves.
Need my coated gloves first,
and my little trophy sword thing."
The trophy sword, for some reason, which had no relevance in the end. Like, she could have used any sword. It didn't make any. She makes a sword out of a trophy.
I guess it's a dagger. It's more like a just stabs people with it.
Yeah, it's like a dagger. Yeah. But there's no reason why she had to make it out of the trophy. She could have made it out of a wash basin. It wouldn't have made a difference.
What was the motive of him? Well, why was he killing these people?
No idea. Also, doesn't make any sense.
So I get why he'd want to kill the sister, because that makes sense.
Yeah, because he wants her all to himself. But these people mean nothing to her. Why is he going to kill them?
Yeah, maybe because they stuffed up the experiment and they made... Oh, it's because they cut him out of her. I think that's what.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because
at the start, so that initial sequence, they say cut out the cancer, referring to him, essentially, saying he's the cancer. I guess that's where the title Malignant comes from as well. I guess that's what they're referring to.
Yeah, but he should essentially be benign. Oh, no, he is malignant because he's growing.
Obviously, at the start of the movie, it was just her. It was her the whole time. So at the start of the movie, it was just her killing people as well. Anything else? I thought there was one part that I... Not necessarily funny. I don't think I found it funny, but I just found it ridiculous where he chucks a chair across the room at the police officers.
Yeah, and then it hits. it hits them. It's the way the CGI is done just looks ridiculous. It looks so bad. And he, like, I don't know what, because he's backwards. He's a backwards boy. Not like the Tenet backwards boys, but he's a backwards boy. Yeah. The way he chucks stuff, it just looks comedic. It looks hilarious.
And, yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but the electricity stuff, they never explain that, how we can control it. Because the only way he could talk as well is through some sort of electrical device or like a radio or a phone or something, or else he can't communicate. So, I just don't know how that – they never explain how that works. The part where it started to lose me was just after the backstory. So, actually, it's during the backstory because they interweave her backstory. So, the sister's basically figuring out what happened to her. And she's in the prison and she's turning to Gabriel. So that the part in the prison was the part that was kind of starting to lose me. That's where it was delving into like a different genre. But the backstory I actually found pretty interesting, I guess, and disturbing.
I think it was just it lost me completely by then that I couldn't get invested in it. I was too deep in the comedy that it set up.
So in between, he kidnaps a tour guide in Seattle. And you find out who she is later. So she's the mother of Madison, was actually adopted, and she was her actual biological mother. And she had her when she was 15, and she was born with this deformity. And obviously went to capture his biological mother as well, because she gave him away. Or she gave them away, so he was not happy with her either. But I thought the very end scene where she just ends up controlling him.
Locks him in the jail. Oh, it was hilariously bad. Like the acting, the sudden confidence that she gets, and like the convenience of it all was just terrible.
Yeah, that I couldn't buy into that. Like that's where I was like, no, this is not the payoff I wanted. But I would say three quarters of the movie, I was actually on board until it started getting into the crazy action stuff. I'm like, no, this is not where it needs to head, because a horror movie is meant to, the climax is meant to be like, if not the scariest part, at least scary in some way. But it's not scary. It's just an action scene. It's just an action. It becomes an action movie.
Yeah. Hilarious action as well, because he's backwards boy.
It's a borderline cognitive recalibration. I just give him points because he tried something different.
Yeah, fair enough. I just think he tried something different and failed. So doesn't deserve the, obviously, praise for trying something different, but still, it's not good. So,
and there's... It's not a twist, but are they like teasing that he's going to come? Well, he's. I think he is going to come back if this movie does well enough, because they kind of tease at the end.
Yeah,
the bulb is kind of flashing. There was a little bit of sound coming out of it, suggesting that he's not benign. So he's
still there.
Yeah.
I don't think this will do well enough to warrant a sequel.
Probably not. I don't think many people are going to watch it because of the marketing it got as well.
It will definitely fly under the radar. I can see it becoming like a cult comedy hit, though.
It had a bit of Sam Raimi about it.
Yeah, but Sam Raimi's comedy is intentional, whereas this, pretty sure it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe he'll come out and be like, nah, I made this to be intentionally funny. And I'll be like, nah, you nailed it. Cognitive recalibration. I give it to you straight away. But I don't think it was intentional. Yeah.
So James Wan is going back to his Aquaman franchise after this. So he's doing Aquaman 2, which is coming out next year. It's got a title, Lost Kingdom or something.
Yeah, I have two more lines that were funny. So one of them, there's this scene where they call in like a psychologist and they like delve into her past. And then they find out that she had an imaginary friend called Gabriel. And then at the end of the scene, one of the detectives goes, "So the killer's your imaginary friend?"
I think that was actually meant to be funny.
Was it meant to be funny? Because I found that hilarious. Yeah,
I think that was actually meant to be. Because at that stage, I thought it was, you know, some sort of imaginary friend that came to life or something. One thing I will say, and it's not just in this movie, but it's in any movie that uses this, is whenever you have like old VHS footage of creepy stuff, it's very effective. Like in this, I was actually kind of creeped out by that because she's like talking to him, but there's no one there. And she's like just talking to someone. And her parents are like, "Who are you talking to?" And I thought that was maybe because it was also in like VHS quality. I don't know if that contributes to the creepiness factor. But
you just like, yeah. you get scared by bad quality.
Yeah, everything. That's why at least 1080p for me. Anything less than that, it starts to freak me out.
And the last line, which is in my opinion the best line, is at the end when they're fighting. She has one of the detectives is like this Asian guy. She has him in a chair and she's like fighting him. Then the other detective comes from the back and goes, "Get off him, motherfucker."
Which is also the same detective that delivered the earlier line as well about the imagination.
The earlier line, yeah.
I think she was actually meant to be funny. I think she was meant to be the comedic relief in this. The
comedic character, yeah.
The other character who I think she gathers evidence, who's James Wan's wife.
That kind of goes nowhere. What's with that? There's like a romance kind of thing going on, which goes nowhere.
There's nowhere. And then there's a hinted slight romance between the detective and her sister as well, which
also goes nowhere.
Does he die? Does he die at the end?
I don't know. They just leave him there and he's stabbed in his shoulder. Yeah. They have a moment. Yeah. I don't think he's dead. He got stabbed in the shoulder, so.
Because he actually ends up seeing, he's the only other character that sees the monster before, like, everyone else sees it. So he probably should have known. Like, he might have seen that this person was running backwards and, you know, had the same hair as the person he was talking to the day before. And
yeah, he's just a bad detective.
Yeah, I guess it was dark.
Very good-looking man, though.
Yeah. I haven't seen him before in anything else, but yeah. He figures out one of the victims, still late, but he figures it out when the murder just happened, and then he confronts the monster and chases. That was a very extended chase sequence as well, like unnecessarily extended.
For no reason. Could have ended it so much earlier.
And you also find out that her biological mother was in her attic the whole time. Why was there this massive fan in her attic? Like, that didn't look like her attic.
Yeah, I don't know. She's got, like, an industrial fan in her attic.
Yeah, like, that didn't look... Because when she falls... So, there's a part where she escapes, and she falls through the floor, and she lands in her living room. I'm like, why did she land in her living room? Wasn't she, like, in some factory somewhere? And then you find out that was her attic.
Yeah, and also, when she falls in the living room, Annabelle Wallace screams for some reason, which... was hilarious.
Yeah. I'm not sure why she screamed at that point, because I get she screams a lot in this movie, and I understand why she screams in some of the other parts, because she's just witnessing murders happening. But this one was just a lady that fell through her roof, and she didn't die.
Yeah, and the scream came too late. The scream, like, she falls, they look at her, and like 30 seconds later, she screams.
Yeah, and then the music kicks in as well, like the really dramatic
music. Yeah, the music kicks in at that point as well. Yeah. The music, every time the music kicks in, it's hilarious. It's so good. And when I say music, it's kind of like, how would you describe it? It's like superhero,
not
superhero, but like rousing music. It's not like scary like beats. It's like rousing.
It is like the Halloween theme, which is, it's a bit like that. So it's got like the organ elements to it, which kind of...
It's organ, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just a bit too energetic. It's not upbeat, but it's very energetic, and it feels like it doesn't fit this situation.
It felt rousing for me. It felt like I should get excited about something. I didn't know what I was getting excited for, but I felt like I should be.
But I can see people enjoying this. I can see people completely hating this. I'm sort of on the fence. I ended up having a good enough time with it. Whether it's an effective horror movie or not, it doesn't really feel like a horror movie now in retrospect. It's more like a It definitely becomes more of a slasher movie.
A comedic action movie.
Yeah. And I think he wanted this character to become like Mike Myers from Halloween or, you know, the slasher. Who's the other guy? Freddie
Prinze Jr. She's All That. Yeah,
I think he wanted it to become that sort of character. Let's see if people actually watch this. It might find an audience on HBO Max, maybe, and people.
I feel like it's just going to sneak under the radar. No one's going to watch it, and then I know, like
10 years later,
12 months from now, someone will watch this and be like, "Why was this made?"
It'll probably get some sort of cult following.
Yeah, but I think for the wrong reasons. I think if this gets big, it's going to be because people think it's funny, not because people think it's scary. There's no way this gets big on people thinking it's a good horror movie. The only way it gets huge is because people think it's funny.
I don't think it's a good enough horror movie to get recognized.
There's no way, like, this would be, yeah, like, people won't be like, oh, this is the new Conjuring or whatever. It's not that good.
I'm actually interested to see what people think about this one. So let us know if you do watch this. So how do people let us know if they watch this?
So contact us on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration. If you want to email us, our email is cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so via giving us a review on iTunes, because that makes us more discoverable on search engines. And obviously, if you have friends that might enjoy this type of podcast, do let them know and spread the word. Okay. Next week, I don't know what we're doing because we're still in lockdown. Oh, yeah, we didn't say that, but yeah, we're still in lockdown. I don't think there's any major releases next week, so we'll figure out what we're going to do.
I'm not sure. I haven't even thought about it, but yeah, we'll figure something out. Figure something fun.
Would you watch He's All That over this?
No, I think this is funnier than He's All That.
Yeah.
I genuinely think it's, yeah. I'm trying to think of a funnier movie I saw this year. Was there any funny movies this year?
F9 was pretty funny.
Also unintentionally, hey. They tried, like, all the parts that they try and be funny weren't actually funny. It's the parts that they try to be serious that are funny, which is, I guess, similar to this.
But F9 is, like, it's always kind of meant to be unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
It's intentionally, unintentionally funny. I don't know. Maybe this was the same. Like, we'll have to see what James Wan says, but...
I'm really curious to see if he wanted it to be funny or not. Like, as funny as it is. Because, yeah, it's definitely very, very comedic at parts.
I personally didn't find it funny, but I've read reviews online, people saying that it was hilarious. So, you're not alone in having that opinion.
Yeah, I'm glad you justified it, because when I watch this, I'm like, why am I finding this so funny?
Maybe if you watch it with friends, you will have a good time. But this will probably not be in the cinemas when we get out of lockdown, so no one from Australia is going to be watching this in the cinema. Cool, all right. I guess we'll leave it there.
Yeah, I got nothing else to say. I've said my three funny dialogues from the movie. That's all I wanted to put into this podcast. Get off him, motherfucker.
Okay, so hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll be back next week with another episode, and hope you're all staying safe, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.